chapter 20 verse 6, chapter 21 verse 2, and chapter 16 verse 2. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? It is no great wonder that malignants say they repent, and the state and church say they keep the same principles. For who will say any evil of himself? Verse 8. Magistrates should scatter away evil men with their countenance, by denying it to them, and looking down on them. How, then, do our rulers gather them? Verse 3, shows that war and strife should not be kept up but in extreme necessity. Fools will be meddling. Verse 11, shows that the best way of judging of men is by their doings and fruits, not strained words and confessions. But those who, upon a bare profession, pronounce a not or malignant a friend, having no proof of his integrity, and will not have any judged such, but such as judicially are debarred, yet contrary to all the testimony of works and fruits, judge and condemn honest men as traitors, though not judicially convicted. Certainly divers measures are an abomination to the Lord, as in verse 10. Then in verse 25 sacrilege is described, and covered perjury, which is a snare to the soul that commits it. He devoureth that which is holy, i.e. applieth to a common use these things God hath set apart, and commanded to be kept holy, as our profaning of repentance and absolution, by casting such pearls to swine, and for our own advantage, making a cloak of them to bring in wicked men, contrary to the very nature and institution of the ordinance, also our prostituting of our covenant and cause, most holy things to maintain in holy or common interests, our committing his holy things to them that will devour them, and after vows to make inquiry, to dispute now, that we did not bind ourselves in the case of necessity, not to employ wicked men, whereas the ground is perpetual and holds in all cases, shows either temerity, in swearing, or impiety, in inquiring afterward and changing. See Deuteronomy 23:21. Then verse 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the weal over them. Oh, that our magistrates were so wise! Is the act of levy a scattering of the wicked? Is the act of indemnity a bringing the weal over them? Psalm 101:8. I will early destroy, and see. In chapter 21 verse 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. The wicked's principles can carry nowhere but to evil, and to do evil to good men. Verse 8. His way and life is full of horrible and tragical chances. But a good man's work is easy and pleasant, directs to a good and peaceable end, Isaiah 26:7. Verse 12. A righteous man should have his wit about him, to consider in godly houses and families, and persons that God hath visible controversies with, that he may not communicate with them in their judgments. Verse 16. It is a sad wandering out of the way, when a man leaves the congregation of the living to abide among the dead, dead in sins and appointed to death. It is a great judgment as well as sin.
Verse 27, with the four, and places before cited, show how abominable the external professions and pretenses of wicked men are, when contradicted by their practice, especially, if they do it but out of a wicked mind, when they intend to effect some mischief, under the color of repentance and being reconciled to the church, as Absalom's vow at Hebron, as Balaam and Balak and the Pharisees, who under pretense of long prayers devoured widows' houses, as Jezebel's fast, and as the people, Isaiah 58:4, who fasted for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. All men know that the church is the ladder to step up upon to go to preferment, and repentance the door to enter to places of trust. Chapter 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and heedeth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. He is a wise man that knows the judgment of the Lord, as the stork can swallow the time of their coming, that in the consideration of sins and threatenings, and comparing things spiritual with spiritual, apprehendeth judgment coming on such a course and such a party, and hides himself, goes aside, retires to a covert, by avoiding these evils, and the least fellowship with them that bring it on, and eschewing such a society, as hath the cloud hanging directly above their head. But simple idiots and blind worldlings go on headlong, and dread nothing, and are punished. Verse 5. Most grievous plagues and punishments and all manner of unhappiness encumber of their wicked life. Therefore he that would keep himself pure and clean, 1 John 5:18, and save his own soul, shall be far from them, shall keep himself far from such people. He prays with Job, let their counsel be far from me. Job 21:16 and 17. Because their good is not in their hand, their candle is oft put out, and see. And he resolves with Jacob, my soul shall not enter into their secret, to have such intimacy with them, as join counsels with them. Genesis 49:6. And verses 10 and 11, cast out of thy company, family, jurisdiction, the scorner that contemns the godly men, and mocks instruction, for such men are infectious, and able to corrupt all they converse with. But cast him out, and contention shall go out with him. It is such only that mars the union of the godly, that stirs up strife, and foments divisions. Thou shalt have more peace, and be more free from sin and shame. But sound-hearted upright men, who deal faithfully, not to please but to profit, you should choose these to entrust and rely upon, those should be friends of kings. Verse 14. As a harlot's allurements are like pits to catch men, so the allurements of wicked and godly men, their power, policy, and see, and their fair speeches and flatteries, are a deep ditch to catch men into this spiritual whoredom and fornication spoken of. Ezekiel 23. And he whom God is provoked with, my former wickedness, falls into it. Ecclesiastes 7:26, verses 24 and 25. Make not friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, and see. And is not association in arms with such, as friends against an enemy, a making friendship with them we are sworn to hold as enemies? If we may not converse with a furious passionate man, how then with men of blood, enraged, whose inveterate malice hath now occasion to vent against all the godly? For thou wilt learn his ways, as we have always seen it by experience, and thou wilt get a snare to thy soul. If thou go not in his ways you cannot agree, you will fall out and quarrel, and that is a snare to thee. Verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. If it be so dreadful and accursed to remove our neighbor's marks and bounds, oh, how much more to change and alter God's landmark, his privileges, oaths and covenants, and see. And chapter 23 verses 10 and 11, Deuteronomy 19:14 and 27:17. Chapter 23 verses 1 and 7. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. For, as he thinketh in his heart so is he, and see. Consider diligently what men are, not what they pretend and seem to be. For, as they think, so are they, not, as they pretend with their tongue and countenance, but as they think in their heart, which is better evidenced by their common and habitual speaking and walking, than any deliberate and resolved profession contrived of purpose. But if thou consider not this, the morsel thou hast eaten thou shalt vomit up. Thou shalt dearly pay for thy credulity, and lose all thy sweet words. Verse 23. By the truth and sell it not, and see. Do not we sell the truth, and cause, and all, into the hands of the enemies of all? Whereas we ought to ransom the kingdom's liberty and religious interest, with the loss of all extrinsic interest that does but concern the accession of one's honor. Yet we sell, endanger, and venture all for that. Chapter 24 verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire thou to be with them. Godly men's hearts are often tickled to be acquainted with, in league and friendship with wicked men, when they have power, that they may not be hurt by them. But seeing there is no society between light and darkness, let not the godly desire to be with them, as in chapter 23 verse 17, but rather to be in God's fear always. That is good company. The reason is verse 2, their heart studies the destruction of the godly. Why then would thou walk with thine enemy? And you shall hear nothing but mischief on their lips. Verse 12. It is not according to men's words but works they should be judged. And why do not we follow that rule in our judging? Do we mock God, as one mocks another? Job 34:11, Psalm 60:12, Jeremiah 32:19, Romans 2:6, verse 21, and see. Men given to change, false deceitful men, meddle not with such, if thou either fear God or respect man. For such will be sure to no interest but their own. Then calamity shall come suddenly. Therefore have nothing to do with them. For who knoweth the ruin of them both, of them and all other wicked men, or of both them and the king, if wicked? Also to the wise and godly this belongs, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment, whether he be king or nobleman. A righteous state respects not the person of the prince and mighty, saith Job. But he that says to the righteous, you are wicked sectaries, and also malignants, because ye will not approve all their resolutions, and to the wicked, thou art righteous, to the malignants, you are the honest men, the blessed of the Lord, who did ever to this day fall under Merah's curse, should the people approve him? No, certainly, him shall the people curse, and the nations shall abhor him, or them. But a blessing on them that would reprove our sins and search them out, verse 25. The malignant party are even speaking so, as the classers and perjurers did to us, even so will we do to them. But God will render to them according to their work, verse 29. Chapter 25 verse 2. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. It is a king and judge's glory to search out a matter, to try dissemblers, before they trust them. God's glory is to pardon. Man's glory is to administer justice impartially. Verses 4 and 5 show what need there is of purging places of trust, especially about the king. Dross cannot be melted. Take what pains you will, it will not convert into a vessel and become useful. This mixed in, obstructs all equity, justice, and piety, where it is. The ruler should be the refiner to purge away this dross, and the army, or judicatory, or kingdom, is a vessel. You shall never get a fine vessel, for use and service till you purge away the dross, Psalm 101:4. Then, verse 8, we should follow peace with all men as much as is possible, never to begin strife or draw the sluice of contention. But if we be wronged, we should not for all that go out hastily to strife, till, 1. The justice and equity of the cause appear, 2. That the matter whereabout we contend be of great moment, a ground to found a war upon, 3. That we first use all means of peace and agreement possible, 4. That we overmatch not ourselves with those who are too strong for us. See chapter 17 verse 14, lest thou be brought to that extremity that thou know not what to do. Thus Christ adviseth, Luke 14:31. I am persuaded this would plead much in reason to yield security to England, so be it our onward repaired, and no more done. Verse 19 shows what the employment of unfaithful men, who mean nothing less than they pretend, is. They fail when most is expected, and hurt beside, as Job's friends, chapter 6 verse 15. And verse 26. A righteous and upright man, consenting with a wicked man in sin, or, through fear of him, not daring to do his duty, turning to him and his way, or dallying and flattering him in his iniquity, is like a troubled fountain, is not good and profitable for edification nor correction, having troubled the purity of his soul through the mud of carnal respects and interests. Corruption within is the mire, the wicked's seducements are like the beast's trampling it with his foot. And he is like a corrupt, infected, and poisoned fountain, more ready to infect and draw others by his example. Verse 27. A man should not seek honor and preferment that is base and shameful. None of the trees longed for sovereignty but the bramble. Chapter 26 verse 1. As snow in summer, and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. It is as unseemly, prodigious, and destructive a thing, to give honors, promotions, and trust to a wicked man, as snow and much rain in harvest, a reproach and punishment more becomes him than honor, the reward of goodness, as verse 3, a whip, rod, and bridle or more for him, to restrain him from wrong and provoke him to goodness. Verse 6. He that commits an errand or business to a wicked man and entrusts him with it, is, as unwise in so doing, as if he did cut off the messenger's feet he sent. He deprives himself of the means to compass it. He sends a lame man to run an errand. He is punished by himself, as if he had cut off his own feet, and procured sorrow and discontent to himself, as if he were compelled to drink nothing but what is contrary to his stomach. Verse 7. All good speeches hold and limp in evil men's mouths, for there is no constancy in their mouths. Within they are very rottenness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing, James 3:10. Their very words agree not, the public and extraordinary crosses the private and ordinary. And their actions have less harmony with their words. Professing they know God, in works they deny him and see. Verse 8. To give a madman a weapon, what else is it but to murder? To bring shot to an ordinance which may do much mischief to himself and others, is to be accessory to that mischief. So to give honor to a fool. He hath given power to them and put them in a capacity to do evil, and set them on work again to perfect their designs against good men. Verse 9. As a drunken man, with a thorn in his hand, can make no use of it, but to hurt himself and others, so wicked men's good speeches and fair professions commonly tend to some mischief. These but cover their evil designs, and yet the covering is shorter than that it can hide them. Verse 10. Wicked rulers look the margin grieve and molest the subjects, and the means to effect this is, to employ the fool and transgressor, to give offices and countenance to evil men, which may be instruments of their lust, so Abimelech, Judges 9:4, so Jezebel, 1 Kings 21:10, so in Nehemiah 6:12. Verse 11. The dog, feeling his stomach surcharged, goes to the grass, as our malignants to profess repentance, and casts up that which troubles him, by a feigned confession. But because there is no change in his nature, he is inwardly stirred by his old principles to lick up that vomit, to commit and practice what he professed repentance for, yea, and to profess the same he pretended sorrow for. When power is confirmed in their hand, they will return to their folly. Verse 17. What else is our interposing ourselves in the king's quarrel concerning England, though we have interest in it to endeavor it in a peaceable way, if he were fit for it, yet in comparison of our kingdom and religion's safety, which may be ruined by war, it is no such matter as belongeth to us. And so it falls out, we are like a man taking a dog by the ears to hold him, we have raised up many enemies, and provoked them to bite us. We cannot hold them long from destroying him, and we provoke them more by holding them, in espousing his quarrel, as Jehoshaphat joining with Ahab. We had done well to interpose ourselves between the king and them to make peace, but to side with one party was not well done. Verses 18 and 19. Furious and bloody men take all opportunities to hurt others, especially good men, and so deceive those employed. But they do it under a pretense. As a scorner reproacheth under a pretense of sport, so they, under other pretenses, of wrongs done, of the country's defense, and see. Verses 20 and 24, show the way to prevent trouble and keep peace. As a contentious turbulent person would inflame a whole country and put them by the ears, so a person, though not contentious in his own nature, yet having many contentious interests following him, which he will not quit, or commit to God's providence, as our king was. Oh, it is the destruction of a nation to have such a person among them. He hath broken the peace of two kingdoms. Verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. Burning lips, hot and great words of love and friendship, and a wicked heart revenging its enmity, and minding nothing less than what is spoken is like a potsherd, a drossy piece covered over with the farding of hypocrisy, or, like a sepulchre garnished and painted, he dissembles and speaks vanity, and flatters. Psalm 12:3. But he lays up his wicked purposes close within him till a time of vending them. Therefore, when he speaks so fair and courteously, be not confident of him, trust him not too far till thou have proof of his reality. Put not thyself and thy dearest interests into his mercy. This is wisdom, and not want of charity, Jeremiah 12:6. Micah 7:5. Cain, Job, and Judas, are proofs of this. It may be covered a time, but not long. Naturum expellis furcolicit, us recurrit. All the world shall be witness of it, Psalm 125. So then, verse 21, the calumniator and false accuser, who openly professes his hatred and malice, and the flatterer that seems to be moved with love, both of them produce one effect, namely, ruin and calamity. Chapter 27 verses 3 and 4. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both, and see. We see what we may expect of the enraged, exasperated malignant party. Their wrath against all the godly, for their faithful secluding and purging them out of places of trust, is weighty and insupportable like the sand of the sea. It will crush them under it, if God support not. It is like a swelling river, or a high spring tide, it goes over all banks, since the state and church have drawn the sluice and let it out. But when it is joined with envy and malice, against godliness and piety itself, who can stand before that? No means can quench that heat. Verse 6. Faithful men's reproofs, remonstrances, and warnings, applied in love and compassion, are better than an enemy's kisses and flatteries, than his oils and ointments are. Therefore we would pray against the one, and for the other, that God would smite us with the mouth of the righteous, but keep us from the dainties of the wicked Job's, Judas's, and Ahithophel's. Verse 8 speaks sadly against ministers that withdraw from their charges so unnecessarily, as a bird that wandereth too long from her nest, the young starve for cold or famine, or are made a prey. So these who, having no necessary call to be elsewhere, especially not being members of the commission, yet stay not with their flocks, are guilty of their soul's ruin. Verse 10. Oh, how doth this speak against the present course of judicatories? They have forsaken their old faithful friends, when they proved ever constant, and have gone into their wicked countrymen's house in the day of their calamity. But a neighbor in affection and piety is nearer than a brother in flesh and near in habitation. Chapter 28 Verse 1 The wicked fleeth when no man curseth, but the righteous is bold as a lion. Wicked men are now chosen for stoutness and courage, but they have no sure foundation for it. It is but like the rage and temerity of a madman or a drunkard. But godly men, once satisfied in grounds of conscience about their duty, would have been bold as lions. A good conscience would have made them bold, Psalm 112, 7 and 8, Leviticus 26, 36. Now, verse 2, behold the punishment of our sins, our governors are changed, there is almost a total alteration, and we are faces about, which cannot but bring ruin to the land, especially when men of understanding and piety are shut out. Verse 4, with chapter 29 verse 27 it is a great point and argument of declining and forsaking the law of God, when men praise the wicked, change their names, though they themselves be not changed, and leave off contending with, or declaring against them, and do rather plead for them. But godly men, that keep the law, contend with, discountenance, and oppose them, as David, I hate them that hate thee, and earnestly contend with them. Thus they are kept from partaking with other men's sins. Verse 5 It is not very likely that all the ungodly should now understand the duty of the times and discern the right way, and that so many that fear God understand it not, seeing the Lord's secret is revealed to them. Psalm 25 14. Verses 6 and 7 A poor man, and weak means, if they be of upright men, are better and stronger than many rich and strong perverters. A companion of evil men and a keeper of the law agree not in one person, the one is an honor, the other a shame to all that have interest in them. Verse 9 Their prayers and professions are abomination, no acceptation of those that turn away their ears from obedience to the law, who walk contrary to it. Verse 10 These cunning and crafty men that have enticed some godly men, and led them on in the present course, shall themselves smart for it, when the godly seduced shall see good things after all this. Verse 12 When wicked men have power and trust, good men hide and retire themselves from such a congregation or assembly of the wicked. See chapter 10 verses 10 and 11. Should we thus choose our own plague, tyranny, oppression, calamity, and misery, and cast away our own glory? Then, verse 13 Repentance requires time and ingenuous confession, and real forsaking. If both these join not, it is but a covering and hiding of sin. If a man confess, and yet walk and continue in them, he is but using his confession as a covering to retain his sins, and such shall not find mercy of God, or prosper before men. Verse 14 It is not so despisable a thing to fear alway, and to be very jealous of sin, as it is now made. It is counted a reproach to have any scruples at the present course. But happy is he that abstaineth from all appearance of evil. But he that emboldeneth himself, and will not question anything that makes for advantage, falls into mischief. Verses 15 and 17 show the lamentable condition of a people under wicked rulers. They are beasts and not men towards the people, especially towards the best, Daniel 7 4 and 5, Zephaniah 3 3. Verse 17 How doth that agree with our sparing of bloody men? Of our soliciting for their impunity, of our pardoning them? Are they not, by the appointment of God's law, ordained for destruction, and haste to it? Should any then stay them?
should they not then far less employ them? And, verse 24, if it be so heinous to take our father's goods upon this pretense, because they are our own, how much more sacrilege is it to rob God of his interests, and give over his money to bankrupts, and say it is no transgression to rob the land of its defense, and make them naked, as Ahaz his confederacy did? Certainly it is murder. Verse 28 and chapter 29 verse 2 and chapter 11 verse 12 and 28 verse 28 are to one purpose. We have forsaken our own mercy and wronged our own souls, and destroyed ourselves in choosing our own judgment, and making our own rod to beat us withal. Chapter 29 verse 1 We being so often reproved by his word and providence for the sin of association with the wicked, and being so lately punished for it, and having so lately reproved ourselves for it in our declarations and fasts, yet to harden our necks, what can we expect but utter destruction, and that without remedy, as we sentenced ourselves? Ezra 9:13 and 14:13, Isaiah 30:13 and 14. Shall not this iniquity be to us a breach ready to fall, even this iniquity of going down to Egypt for help, and see? Then, verse 6, there is a snare to entrap thy feet in the sins of the wicked, if thou be joined with them, thou cannot well escape. Verse 8 Wicked profane contemners of God and his people bring ruin on a city or commonalty, they set it on fire and blow it up. But godly men pacify wrath, turn away judgments, and purge all from provocations, which is the only means to turn it away. Verse 16 shows, when wicked men gather together, and grow in state and power, they grow worse, and sin with greater boldness. And transgression then overflows the land, tanquam ruptus repagulus. There is no obstacle. See Psalm 12. And verse 24 shows, he that is partner and fellow receiver with a thief, or conceals such offenders, endangers his own destruction, and he that stays with, and associates with wicked men, must hear cursing and cannot bear it. He will see many abominations, that, though he would, he cannot remedy. Verse 25 Fear of man and of the land's danger, hath brought many into a snare, to run from the Lord to an arm of flesh, but he that trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Verse 27 Here is the deadly enmity between the two seeds, they cannot reconcile well. See verse 10 and chapter 21 verse 3. It is no wonder the godly abominate such men who are God's enemies and the land's plague. Chapter 30 verses 11 and 14 describes the malignant party, who make nothing of the godly magistrates or their mother church and land, but curse, malign, oppose as much as they could, and are oppressors, monstrous tyrants, mankind beasts, or beastly men. The subject of their cruelty is the godly afflicted man. They eat up all and will not leave the bones, as the prophet complains, I lie among men whose teeth are, as spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And then, verses 12, 13 and 20 describe our enemies, the invaders. They think themselves godly and righteous, yet are not purged from their filthiness. They are given up to strong delusions to believe lies. And there is no lie greater than this, that they are a godly party in a godly cause and way. They wipe their mouth after all their bloodshed, and say, I have done no evil. They wash their hands, as Pilate, as if they were free of the blood of these just men, whose souls cry under the altar. Verses 21-23 It is a burden to the world and a plague to mankind, when servants, and worthy men, and persons unfit for high places are set in authority, and when wicked men have their desire of plenty and honor, chapter 19 verse 10.
And when an odious woman, or men of hateful vicious dispositions, come to preferment and are espoused by a state, naught they were, while alone, but worse now, When they have crept into the bed and bosom of the state, her roots were not before, but now she is planted in rank mould, and will shoot forth her in savory branches and blossoms. And when handmaids, kept in a servile estate because of their disposition and quality, get their masters ushered out, and they become heirs, at least possessors of the inheritance or trust. Verse 33 shows how necessarily war and contention follow upon unnecessary provocations by word or deed, such as we have given many to England, though indeed they have given mo. And lastly, chapter 31 verses 20-26 and 31 shows how word and work should go together, and men should be esteemed and praised according to their works and fruit of their hands.